Chatham, wearing Kunti Mala.
And right away he began chanting 2 lakhs daily. Gurudev used to chant 2 lakhs daily. He said now, because of all the preaching and people coming to him all day at night and writing books, he only has time for 1 lakh. So, Lahiri Mahasaya was chanting 2 lakhs daily, offering dandavats to all the Vaishnavas, and daily, before doing anything else, he would offer his obeisances to Premdas Babaji. He served his Gurudev and stopped his fancy singing, and with no desire for praise or anything else. Then, Lahiri Mahasaya, one day, he went and offered his obeisances to his Gurudev, and he said, now I want to know, what is Prayojana Tattva, the goal of life? Please explain that to me. You've explained Sambandha Tattva, you've explained Abhideya Tattva, now please explain Prayojana Tattva. So, Vaishnava Das Babaji explained, but the prayojana, or the goal of life, is Krishna Prem. First one comes to sadhan, then he comes to bhav bhakti, and then he comes to Prem bhakti. Prem is the eternal function of the jiva. Prem is the wealth of the jiva. Prem is the goal of the jiva. There's nothing greater than prem, and without prem, one is suffering. Because we don't have prema bhakti, that's why we're suffering. Krishna is controlled by prema. Prema is the complete spiritual tattva, or truth. It's the most condensed happiness. And also, it's characterized by great mamata. Mamata means a sense of mindness. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my beloved. I was very surprised. About 12 years ago, Gurudev asked us, who is more advanced, Vasudev Maharaj or Narad Muni? And naturally, my immediate thought would be Narad Muni. He's so famous, you always read about him. He's always assisting in all of Krishna's pastimes, Ram's pastimes, Vishnu. So he's surely more higher. So Gurudev said, no, Vasudev. Why? Because he has more mamata. Narad Muni just thinks that Krishna's God. And Vasudev thinks partly that Krishna is God and partly that Krishna is my son. So who is it more advanced then, Nanda Baba or Vasudev? More advanced in prem? Nanda Baba. Why? Because he has no conception that Krishna is God. Fully that Krishna is my son. Sometimes he'll say things sarcastically to Krishna like, oh, I've heard from the sages that you're God. Well, if you're God, and then he raises his hand, like a parent raises his hand, before he's going to slap his child, he says, okay, you're God, so here, take my worship. So, prema is like that. So Lahiri Mahasaya said, can I be eligible for prema? And Vaishnava Das replied, well, in a few days, and when Lahiri Mahasaya was asking this, he was weeping. So Vaishnava Das replied, in a few days you've reached the level of bhav, so surely, very shortly, Krishna will put you on the level of prema. And Lahiri Mahasaya was choked up with bliss, and he rolled in uncontrolled transcendental ecstasy. at the lotus feet of his Gurudev. And he exclaimed, "Oh, nothing, there's nothing except Gurudev. Gurudev is everything. Alas, what have I done all this time with my life? Oh, Gurudev, you've rescued me from the dark well of sense gratification." So now we see that the Lahiri Mahasaya has become a really great devotee. And now we've ended chapter 4 and we come to chapter 5. Now I'm asking you, Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, should we begin chapter 5 now and just do some of it? Or should we end here? It's about 10 after 10, my time. Should we end here and ask for questions and begin chapter 5 in Malaysia?
I think if you want, for 5 minutes, if you want to give like an overview of what's in chapter 5, and then we continue in Malaysia.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, the overview of chapter 5 is now Lahiri Mahasaya, it becomes the hero, along with his Gurudev, of this chapter. The chapter talks about his two sons who are trying to deprogram him and bring him back home so that he can become a smarta brahman again. And they go to Godrumdweep to get him, and they ask him to come back and let us serve you there at home, and you can still do your bhajan. And Lahiri Maya refused. Lahiri Mahasaya said, "No, I'm not going to do that because I vowed never to go to a place that is opposed to bhakti. Although there are Brahmins there, these Brahmins are opposed to pure bhakti. In fact, they offend pure bhakti and the pure Vaishnavas, and they offend the descendants of Advaitacharya, because he's from Shantipur. His relatives live in Shantipur, where Advaitacharya's house was. But his descendants were all contaminated by these people in smarta Brahmins in Shantipur." So David Dyson was arguing with him that, no, this is Nitya Dharma. And then just as Vaishnav Das was teaching Lahiri Mahasaya about the difference between Naimittik Dharma and Nitya Dharma, what is the materialistically motivated activities of the smarta Brahmins and the impersonal Jnanis, what's the difference between that and the Nitya Dharma of the Vaishnavas? So in his own words, in different words, which gives us new light on the subject, Lahiri Mahasaya was explaining the same thing. And his son appeared to be catching on. So his son said, "Well, gee, before I thought that all Vaishnavas were fanatics, but now I can hear by your very logical and Shastric explanation that some Vaishnavas can understand Shastra. Are you learning now under the guidance of some Vaishnava?" So Lahiri Mahasaya replied that, "Yes, if you want, you can call me a fanatic Vaishnava if you want to. But actually, I'm under the guidance of a great Vaishnava who's always engaged in doing Hari Bhajan. And, in fact, let me take you to meet him. I'll introduce you to him." So he took him to the to see Vaishnava Das Babaji, and he introduced him. And then he himself left to go back to his own room to do Harinam. And there was Vaishnava Das speaking with his sons, with his son, not only his son, but his son and his son's friend. What's his son's friend's name? Sambhunath. So Vaishnava Das, just like Lahiri Mahasaya, addressed his son as "my dear son," so Vaishnava Das is also addressing his disciple's son and friend as "my dear son," because actually the real father is Guru, The real birth is initiation. Even when one is not initiated, the guru thinks of all as his sons. Just like whenever any lady disciple would be with Gurudev, he'd call her Beti, the Hindi word for daughter. And even if a lady comes to him the first time, he calls her Beti, daughter. So then, Vaishnava Das began teaching Devi Das and Sambhunath what is the real nature of Vaishnava Dharma and how it's different from the deity worship and the mantra chanting of the smarter Brahmins. And then Vaishnava Das begins to speak with one Islam devotee, who's actually a Vaishnava, although he's Muslim. And Devi Das, the son, couldn't imagine how the Vaishnavas would lower themselves to speak with a Muslim. He couldn't understand how they could associate and how a Muslim could be a Vaishnava. In other words, he couldn't understand that Vaishnavism is transcendental to birth, to caste, to creed, to color, to anything. And gradually, later on, we'll find out about how Vaishnava Dharma is transcendental. Because Devi Das was asking that since our activities seem to be similar to your activities, or Vaishnava, why aren't our activities eternal? Why do you call your activities eternal? So Vaishnava Das was explaining how Vaidhi Bhakti, because it's pure Vaidhi Bhakti, is aimed towards the eternal service of the Lord. Therefore, it enters onto the eternal platform. The activities are eternal, but it's just like an unripe mango becoming a ripe mango. Whereas, because the activities of the smarter Brahmins and the Mayavadi Jnanis are aimed at mystic power or material sense gratification or impersonal Brahman merging, therefore their activities are temporary. And their goal is temporary and illusory also. So that was an overview of what we'll be discussing in Malaysia. And then also in Malaysia, before starting chapter 6, we'll have an overview of the entire 5 chapters so that we can get the whole in our mind. Yes, let's open up for questions. And in fact, I received one question from my godbrother Padabja Prabhu, which was so nice. I want to read his questions and then try to answer it very shortly. He said, when I joined the movement, we conveniently called ourselves devotees and we called everyone else karmis. Then, when Gurudev came to Badger in 1996, he saw our worship of Prabhupada with 2 big lions guarding Prabhupada's Vyasasana, and we were hanging the Sitaram Chatter upside down. And Gurudev said our worship of Prabhupada was more like the mood of the demigod worship, and that we were actually, our bhakti was covered by karma. And on another occasion, he said that the activities of any spiritual society, although it appears to be bhakti, like food distribution, cow protection, and other activities, if the proper consciousness is not there, the proper mood is not there, then these activities are just karma. So our godbrother is asking, can you please explain what makes karma yoga in Krishna consciousness different from our way of doing things when we think we're performing bhakti, but it's not actually bhakti, but it's karma, means karma misra bhakti. And how can the switch take place from the being predominated by karma to being bhakti? So this is a very nice question, and we'll discuss it more elaborately as we continue our reading of Jivadharma. But basically speaking, Gurudev is trying to impress upon us what he said we didn't catch when Prabhupada was trying to impress upon us. That is, what is real bhakti? Pure bhakti means anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anusilanam bhakti uttamam. That is, pure devotional service is the engagement of the body, mind, senses, and emotions of the heart for the sole purpose of pleasing Krishna with no other motive. And it is an unbroken stream, unconditional, uninterrupted, unmotivated, and it is not covered by the desire to enjoy the fruits of activities or the desire to merge with God. And it has, there's knowledge, but that knowledge does not cover bhakti. That knowledge is subordinate to bhakti. What is my relationship with God? Who am I? What is God? What is our relationship? What is Maya? This knowledge, in the beginning, it covers bhakti. Because real pure bhakti means the associates of the Lord, but that is the highest bhakti, is that uttama bhakti, Vrgatmika bhakti, that's practiced by the residents of Vrindavan. They have no knowledge that Krishna is God. Prahlad Maharaj also practices uttama bhakti. His knowledge is not covered by karma. It's not covered by impersonal knowledge. But he has some knowledge that Krishna is God. And so that creates an impediment in his personal service. He wouldn't even think of bringing a glass of water because he thinks that God is never thirsty. So what to speak of us, Prahlad Maharaj is a great pure devotee, and we want to be Prahladanuga. Gurudev said there's no question of becoming a gopi without first becoming like Prahlad. So what to speak of us, all of our activities, at least I can speak for myself definitively, that if I'm offering prasadam, I'm thinking only that I want to take the prasadam, and I want to be free from the karma, and that's why I'm making the offering. And I want to taste it. I'm not really that interested in how Krishna is tasting it. So this is called karma pradani bhakti. It's bhakti. It's called bhakti, but actually it's predominated by karma. I'm trying to be under the guidance, but I'm not actually under the guidance. Because under the guidance means that I'm offering Krishna prasadam with, I'm offering Krishna boga, not with the moods that Gurudev is teaching. So, but because I'm trying to be under guidance, because I have a bona fide shiksha guru who can twist my ear when I'm doing something wrong, because that's what Prabhupada wants, that after his departure we take shelter of somebody who's on his level, who can continue our teaching. Because I have somebody who can twist my ear, I'm confident that gradually I'll become free from the predominance of karma. Gradually karma will become, bhakti will become prominent over karma, and then there'll be no karma. So I hope that answers Prabhu's question. Any other questions?
Reflect on Shantipriya Prabhu's assignment number 2 from today.
What?
Shantipriya Prabhu from Hawaii.
Yes.
Like a one-page text. And I saw your email that you would comment on his excellent text in today's lecture.
Okay, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Where is it? Where'd it go? I'd like to even read it because I think he expressed it even better than I can say it. If I can't find his letter just now, then I'll just try to summarize it. It's, what's his email address? Eric Bhatt or something like that. So he was saying that, you know, previously, in the days of Lahiri Mahasaya and Vaishnava Das Babaji, they had to walk all the way from Mayapur to Godrum, take a boat, and then go all the way back. They had to walk for miles. They had to hear something and they had to remember it. But they were qualified that they could do that. And Vaishnava Das became so advanced when he heard his Gurudev speaking when he was meditating on the Shantalila, what was his own swarup as Raman Manjari, and he immediately advanced so quickly to Bhava Bhakti. So, and it's so significant, he's saying, that Babaji Maharaj received direct instructions from Sanatan Goswami and in the presence of Jiva Goswami and others. And this shows how powerful the transmission of this teaching is from Mahaprabhu to his disciples to their disciples. And today we're not on that level that we can receive in such a way, although our gurus are the same kind of gurus as was there then, we are not on that level as the disciples were. But fortunately, we have all of our evolved technical assistance. Like we have computers, we have phones, we have internet, we have websites. Because these are the things we need, because we always keep forgetting. We have to hear again and again and again the same things. And now, although we've fallen, we can, instead of walking from Mayapur to Godrum, we can just walk to the computer. So we're much less fortunate, and at the same time, we do have some fortunes that Krishna has created for us. So he concludes by saying that by establishing a clear benchmark for the jiva's constitutional nature and activity, Babaji has also made it possible to characterize and distinguish dharmas and identify that the best example of Nitya Dharma, or the only example of Nitya Dharma, is Vaishnava Dharma. So everything, by the mercy of our Shiksha and Diksha Gurus, and all of our Shiksha Gurus who are in Jiva Dharma, we're really getting so much mercy to clarify everything for us. Any last question? So thank you, Shanti Prabhu. Hari Bol?
Hari Bol, any more questions? You can press forward to unmute.
Mary, here, one quick question.
I can, yes?
You can hear me.
Yes?
Okay, yes, previously you were talking about the
who is this speaking?
Badger.
Who is this speaking?
And you.
Who are you?
Sorry, this is Shanti.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Dhanavad, yes.
And I missed the name of the pamphlet and part of the explanation.
Of what?
If you could just very quickly.
The explanation of what?
The name of the pamphlet that Narai Maharaj had written in Badger.
Oh, yeah.
And the explanation.
It's not actually as a pamphlet, it's a small booklet that the devotees compiled from his lecture. And the name of the booklet is The Ocean of Rus. And later on, actually, that same lecture, Ocean of Rus, was reprinted in the booklet called The Lasting Relation, which is now widely distributed. The which is Gurudev's relationship with Prabhupada. Does that answer the question? Okay. Yeah, I just have a question to you. It's the same people who are asking the questions every day. Is there really a large group out there, or is just there just a couple of you?
No, I think it's a pretty big group out there.
They're just shy?